Tests show us that most people retain about 25% of the material they hear. That is on subject matter they're familiar with. In general, 10% retention is the normal level and maybe up to 60%, which would be highly unusual. 25%. You know how excited that makes a preacher to get to the pulpit? Man, I've got to get up there and tell these folks what I've got to say because they're going to get at least 25% of it. Except God's word does not return void, but will accomplish the purpose for which it is sent. And that's the fantastic thing about it. So, let me ask you a question. Why should I hear? The answer to that is found in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 1. Guard your steps when you go to the house of God. Go near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools, who do not know when they are doing wrong. The King James says it like this. I like this. Keep your foot when you go to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. In other words, when we come to the house of God, I remember one time I was preaching a youth rally, and I saw this whole row of young people, and they were all just kind of looking around and so on and so forth. But I saw one guy had something stuck in his ear, and I thought, man, he's getting it. He's probably recording my message. And after, I heard him talking to some guys, and he said, guess what? Joe Lewis knocked him out. While I was preaching the word, they were listening to a prize fight. And that just broke my heart. Taught me something. We are going to be held responsible for the message that we hear. Matthew chapter 13, verse 9 says, who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables or stories? The story. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Can I tell you this morning that while I am preaching this word, that God can bring you to a place of conversion in Christ? Can I tell you that while you're sitting in your seat and I'm preaching this word, God can heal you? How do I know that? Because the Bible says that this word has the power to bring conversion and healing to us. Physical, spiritual, emotional, mental, it doesn't matter. God has a plan, and God will work in our lives if we'll hear from Him and respond to what He is saying to us. Hallelujah. Now, in the first service, a lady came to me. Some of you may know Nancy Collins. Nancy and Dale, they've been here for years. Years ago, at North Vernon again, I was preaching down there. I was pastoring Harrison, Ohio at that time, and I'd taken my choir down there, and I was preaching on Saturday night. Dale and Nancy came to that service. Nancy came up to me this morning. She said, I've never told you this, but the next day after that service, they gave their hearts to the Lord in the church in Columbus, Indiana. She said, that night when you were preaching, you said seven words that affected my life. And she said, you just made the statement, God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for your life. She said, I have no idea what you preached about. I couldn't tell you the text. I couldn't tell you the illustrations. I couldn't tell you anything except those words haunted me all night until the next morning when an altar call was given in a church. I stepped out and said yes to Jesus. I know sometimes people say, wonder when he's going to be done. But let me tell you, it just takes a few words to change your life. And God wants to change lives in this service today, just like he did in the early service this morning. He's talking to us. Psalm 107:20 said, he sent his word and healed them and rescued them from the grave. That is such a powerful thing. Did you know that while we're sitting in this room, and you may be thinking of somebody right now that you know that needs something from God. I had a couple came this morning after the service and they asked me to pray with them. Grandmother is sick with cancer. A young man about 7 to 8 years of age had been molested by a 13-year-old family member. I'm talking big time stuff here, folks. And they said, we believe that if we pray together, God can send his power, his strength, his healing, his ability to those situations right from this room this morning, because God's word is not bound to this place. It's powerful, hallelujah, and it can change lives as we place it in the hands of an almighty God. Amen. Now, I love Paul the Apostle. I love Peter. These guys were awesome. And I think of the message that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, when he, in the book of Acts, stood up and began to preach the word to that crowd that had gathered there, that was hearing the message for the first time in their own tongue. And only one tongue was being spoken by the speaker, but God was putting his word out there in all kinds of languages so everybody there could get the message. Isn't that fantastic? And he makes a statement. He preaches, first of all, he says, Joel said. Joel. Who's Joel? Old Testament prophet. So he's preaching the word. And then he says, David said. Who's David? Old Testament king. So he's preaching the word. And as a result of the word, Joel, David, the Psalms, the book of Joel, when the people heard this, it said they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And the Bible said, God confirmed his word. How'd he do it? With signs following? Yep. 3,000 souls were born into the kingdom of God because the word was preached and the God of heaven stood behind his word and transformed the lives of those people. Hallelujah. That's the God that we serve. That's the power that the word has. Now, any serious student of listening must begin by clarifying the similarities and contrasts between these two human functions, hearing and listening. To the uninformed, the two expressions may appear to refer to the same activity, but in actual fact, there is a world of difference between the two. So let's look at it. Hearing. What is hearing? This is a word that is used to describe the physiological sensory processes by which auditory impressions are received by the ears and transmitted to the brain. Listening, on the other hand, is a word that refers to a more complex psychological procedure involving interpreting and understanding the significance of the sensory experience. Let me illustrate that. Hearing. Remember when your kids, you were trying to help them hear? Used to get out. Kids just, they're amazing, aren't they? And amusing. They make us amusing. I love to watch big old guys with a baby about as big as their hands. And they get down on them, in front of them on their knee, and they say, say, Dada. Come on. Come on. Dada. Get finger on their chin. Da, da. And they say, Hallelujah. When my kids got older, Bruce and Rhonda, 2 years apart, boy and a girl, everything was smooth as silk. Never any fights, never any disagreements. We had a marvelous home. No, we didn't. And sometimes I would say, now, Bruce and Rhonda, listen to Dad. I'd tell him something. They'd do just the opposite. So I'd take another shot at it. Bruce and Rhonda, listen to your father. They heard, but they didn't listen. I went to the doctor the other day for a checkup, and my wife said to him, I want you to check his hearing. I have since changed doctors, by the way. The doctor checked my hearing, and he said to me and to her, he has selective hearing. You know how that hurts. In other words, I heard what I wanted to hear. Now, here's the thing. Hearing is passive, and listening is active. Do you hear me this morning? Somebody said, man, you've got a set of pipes on you, buddy. But, hey, it's not a matter of us hearing it. It's a matter of us listening and letting us understand what is being said enough to do something about it. That's what the difference is between hearing and listening. Let me illustrate that. Where you hear somebody preaching and all they talk about is wealth and prosperity in terms of money, that is a materialistic message. If you hear somebody preaching and all they talk about is man is self-sufficient without God, that is humanism being expressed. If you hear somebody preaching about pleasure and happiness are the highest goals that you can ever attain to, that is hedonism, which is interpreted as, if it feels good, do it. A lot of television programs, reality shows. Are you kidding me? Those are reality shows? Don't try this at home. Get up on the garage, tie a cape around you, and jump off like Superman. Come on. That's not reality. And yet people are buying into that stuff because they think that's the answer to everything. That whatever it is that just floats your boat, as we say. But Christianity has the message that really counts, and this is what it is. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14. I think this whole thing's crashed, so I'm sorry for that. I have these scriptures, but you can jot them down. 2 Corinthians 13, 14. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship or communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. Can you beat that? The grace of God, what's grace? Unmerited favor. Can't buy it, can't earn it, you don't deserve it, but God gives it because He is a faithful God. Hey, it is up there. I just don't have it back here. Welcome to my world. So, isn't that a fantastic thing? Grace. Grace. What do you think of grace? Come on. Amazing grace. Sing it. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. That's the message. That's the message. Amen. God has bought us with His precious blood, and we're cleansed from our sin through Him. Praise His name. Now then, what are we going to do with what we've heard? Well, we're supposed to respond. Honey, the trash needs to go out. Oh, yeah. An hour later, honey, the truck comes at 9 o'clock. Yeah. Honey, the truck just went down the street. And one day, we have two trucks that come down our street. One is it picks up stuff that you recycle, okay? Then the other one's a trash truck. I did one of those that I just illustrated to you, and I didn't get the trash out, and so here comes a truck, and I'm running down the street, and my hair's flying in the breeze, what I've got, and I'm running with the trash, and my neighbor will not let me forget that. And it was not the trash truck, it was the recycling truck. And we all have problems like that because we are not responding to what we heard. Now, 1 Samuel 15:22-23, Samuel said to King Saul, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams." Verse 23, "For rebellion is like the sin of divination or witchcraft, and arrogance or stubbornness and iniquity like the sin of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, He has rejected you as king." Can I tell you this morning that you can lose your kingdom and you can lose your kingship if you do not respond to the word of the Lord when God speaks to your heart? And God's Spirit shall not always strive with man. Today is the day of salvation. That's what the Bible says. Now, how must we respond? I love Paul. I love his defense of his witness about his conversion. And in the book of Acts, chapter 24 and 26, and you don't have to turn there, but he appeared before Governor Felix. And as he stood before Felix and gave his testimony about his salvation, how he came to know the Lord, after a while, Felix leaned over from his throne and said, "Sometime when it's more convenient, I'll call for you, and you can come back and we'll talk this over." And so then they passed him on to Festus, who succeeded Felix as governor. And Paul gave him his testimony, and he finally leans over and says, "Paul, all these things you're talking about, the learning you have, it has made you angry, mad, crazy. Just back off." And then they passed him on to King Agrippa. And Agrippa, after Paul's defense, said to him, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost. Can I tell you this morning, almost is not enough. You can't be almost a Christian and almost a sinner. You're either a Christian or a sinner. What makes the difference? Your response to the one that says, I love you. I died for you. I rose from the dead for you. I'm coming back for you. If you accept me as Lord and Savior of your life, you will never be the same again. That's the message. And the response is so important. That's why the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2, for we also have had the gospel, the good news about Jesus, preached to us, just as they did, the Old Testament wanderers who died in the wilderness. But the message they heard was of no value to them because those who heard it did not combine it with faith. Doesn't combine it with faith. Psalm 138 and 2 said, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. That's why we're doing the story. That's why. Because when you read the word, it's going to do something in your life. The Bible says it is more powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder soul and spirit, bone and marrow. The Word of God has an effect on your life. And when you respond to that, it will transform you. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things pass away, and all things become new. Is that fantastic or what? That's what God does for us. Now, faith. What's faith? Everybody has it. That's what the Bible says. God has given every man a measure of faith. My grandma used to cook with pinches. Anybody have a grandma that cooked with pinches? Pinch of this, pinch of that, pinch of flour, pinch of salt, pinch of pepper, pinch of whatever, and out came this scrumptious meal that you loved. Everybody has a pinch of faith. What faith? I'll show you. I love to watch people come into church. Nobody comes in and goes, yeah, I believe it will. Now, what is that? I believe that seat's going to hold me up. That's faith. Came out of your house this morning. Put your key in the car. What'd you do? Oh, wait a minute. Ran around, raised the hood. Ha ha! The engine's still there. Nobody did that. You had faith. Can I tell you that that same kind of faith works when you place it in Jesus Christ? It's not that you have faith or don't have faith. It's the object of your faith. And Jesus is the object of this book. And He will honor His word. The King James, that just blows me away. Psalm 138, 2, above His name. That's pretty high, folks. That is the top drawer. And Jesus is all of that. So, Matthew 7:24-25. This is it. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain came down, and the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. It did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Remember in Sunday school, anybody? The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. And the rains came tumbling down. The rains came down and the floods came up. Aren't we good?
I bet you wish you could have been in my class, huh?
But that's the truth. That's the message. The illustration is plain and simple. We can all understand it. If you put these sayings into practice, you'll be wise. If you ignore it, you're foolish. So what do? We hear the voice. We listen to the message. And we respond to our need. Which is easy for Jesus to say, "Thy sins be forgiven thee. Take up thy bed and walk." God is in this place. He can touch you, whatever your need is. Physically, spiritually, emotionally, temporally. Doesn't matter. He is a God that stands behind His Word. Hear the voice and get the message. The power, the awesome power of the listening ear. Lord, thank You. Thank You for speaking to our hearts today. Thank You for the many ways that You help us. And I pray, O God, that right now in this room, all distractions will be shut out for just these moments, and we will focus upon You. Here we are to worship. Here we are to bow down. Here we are to say that You're our Lord, our God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful. Father, if there are those in this room that can't say that, can't sing it from their hearts, would You speak to them right now, Holy Spirit? Do what I can't do. That's bring them out of that darkness, out of that place where they're stumbling for direction and purpose. Oh, God, speak to us this morning. In Jesus' precious name, we're going to thank You for that. Amen. Let's stand together this morning. Praise the Lord. You've been a great, wonderful group. So let me talk to you right out of my heart today. And I want you right now to have that opportunity, that moment with God, when you can respond to His message. And if you're here this morning and you need His cleansing, what do? Bring it to the altar. Bring it to Jesus. Put it here. Leave it. And let Him take care of the circumstance of your life. He'll do that. We confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. As we begin to sing, if you want to come into His presence and bring needs in your life, whatever it is, you just come and He'll meet you right here. Will you do that? Just step right out. Just come. Take a few moments here. Let the Holy Spirit touch your life. God bless you, sir. right there where you are this morning. Just let the Holy Spirit touch your life right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, Spirit of God, we worship you. We magnify your name. We exalt you, Lord. You're worthy of our praise, oh God. Worthy of our praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I pray for your special touch for these that have stepped out with us. Special response to you today. Just move across this altar, Lord. Lay your hand upon each life, right at their point of need. Receive their worship to you, Father. Give cleansing where there's cleansing needed. Give strength where there is weakness. Give your power for our emptiness, your fullness. We thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your word. I pray, God, that you'll be glorified in our lives. As we go from this place today, may we not go in our own strength, but in the power of your might. And let Jesus be seen in us. And we bless you. And we thank you. And we praise you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's sing that chorus one more time. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. Trust that you'll not just hear, but that you'll listen. And then obey what God says. And He'll confirm Himself to you in your life. Amen. Amen. Praise God. He's a faithful God. God bless you and keep you. And go in the power of His might. Amen. Thank the Lord. If you're a guest, be sure and take that card, connection card, to the Connection Lounge, a free gift for you today. God be with you and bless you. Amen.